thousands of years ago, Ireland was completely blanketed in a thick, dense forest.
And we all know what happened to that.
And it was, exactly. And in this forest lived a variety of wild animals that have since become extinct in Ireland. We've lost our wolves, we've lost our bears, we've lost our lynx. They've all become extinct. And basically, I have found a little pocket of forest that hasn't been cut down, and I have adapted it and built an amazing wildlife sanctuary to care for wild animals that have been abused in captivity, and specifically offered it to animals that were once native to Ireland.
So when we talk about a native bear,
yes,
what kind of bear are we talking?
There were brown bears in Ireland.
Yeah.
They're believed to have gone extinct about 2,500 years ago. They were they were very common here. There's lots of fossils have been found in caves. When they're excavating, archaeologists are excavating the caves, they find a lot of bear remains. They know from these bear bones that humans were actually hunting them. Even during the Stone Age, there's bear bones that date back to 9,000 years ago, with cut marks clearly visible in their bones. The humans were actually hunting them, and I don't know if they were eating them or not, but they were certainly using their skins to keep warm. And it's fascinating when you delve into the history of our small island and the wildlife that used to be here. It's incredible what's turned up.
And the scale of the bears would be what we'd expect. They were brown bears.
They're pretty big. Our bears are about 300 kg each. So that was a lot of fun lifting them into position when they arrived.
Mm.
We had to have machinery capable of handling large weights. And not only is it a large weight, but they also move. And when they were in their travel crates, they were moving around. So we had a lot of fun getting them in, but everything went well.
Yeah, and the bears that you have now, where are they indigenous to?
Okay, so they're European brown bears, okay? They're the same species that were native to Ireland. Bears are getting a really tough time in the wild and in captivity at the moment, right around the world. Particularly in Europe, and it really is surprising at how here in Europe we consider ourselves to be modern thinking and forward thinking continent, and we're abusing these animals all over the continent. There's bears in circuses, there's bears in roadside zoos. Our bears came from a museum. It was a museum dedicated to the Iron Curtain, so there were statues of Stalin and all this kind of stuff, and they had these bears as sort of an additional attraction. They were kept in a concrete box, for want of better
They were just a commodity.
Just a commodity, yeah.
Nothing
just as an additional little attraction to bring people in and profit from their misery. There were iron bars, and if you look on our Facebook page, we've got photographs up of where they came from. So when they came to us, I worked with two international animal charities to rescue these bears. Bears in Mind were responsible for them being confiscated from the museum, and then they were held then in Nature Help Centrum in Belgium until we were ready to take them on here at Wild Ireland. They then travelled to our facility, which we've built to replicate their natural habitat. I mean, Ireland is their natural habitat.
How long have they been in situ now?
They've been here 2 weeks now.
And how are they? It's very early in the process.
You know what? It's fascinating. These animals have never felt grass under their paws. They've never had the opportunity to run. They've never seen water deeper than their water dish.
Or scratch their backs or whatever it might be.
Any of that. Climb on trees. And the first day we let them out, it was heartbreaking to watch, but it was such a happy moment. They came
out. You couldn't get lost in the happy moment because you had to be conscious of where they'd come from to get to that point as well.
Exactly,
didn't they?
But when they came out, they were so tentatively touching the ground. They'd never touched earth. They'd never touched grass. They didn't know what this. They'd been used to standing on solid concrete. They didn't know what this thing was moving under their feet, and it was just grass and soil.
Is it going to give way?
Like, it took them about 45 minutes to venture out, believe it or not.
Yes.
And within half an hour, they were being bears again.
How many bears do you have?
We've three.
And what's the capacity?
We're at capacity at the moment with regards to bears. I mean, we had these three bears that needed rescuing, so we built the facilities especially for them. The plan is, you can't just release them out into a big massive enclosure straight away. But what we're doing is we've built a large enclosure with a deep pond for them to swim in. they've never emerged in themselves or submerged themselves in water. And it's hilarious. Even now, they love going into the pond, but they won't go out of their depth. They're hanging around the shallows, and it'll take them a while.
Need to some learn water wings,
swim.
Maybe.
Sorry, yeah, yeah, some water wings.
And in terms of licensing to keep bears, do you have to? Because obviously they're indigenous. Not indigenous, but they once were indigenous to our lands.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not like you're bringing in ostriches or something. I don't know. No. Is there any legislation in that area?
There's lots and lots of legislation surrounding animals like bears. First of all, you have the control and the trade of endangered species. Bears are endangered because they're being shot and hunted in the wild. Their forest and their habitat has been destroyed. So we have to comply with all that legislation. Mm-hmm. They have to have special papers and exemptions. And then we have animal health legislation that we've complied with. We've one of the top certifications in animal health, which we had to jump through hoops to get with the Department of Agriculture, which means that our standard of animal care is top notch. Yes. And then as well as that, we have to have the zoo license. And the zoo license, they oversee everything we do. So they make sure that our enclosures are up to scratch for the animals and also from a safety point of view.
Well, that's what I was going to get to, because people are going to be listening and they're going to say, well, what if one of these, I mean, this is all well and good, but one of these bears break out, or we're going to talk of other animals that are there. There's wolves and monkeys, etc.
And I can understand that. And we've taken every advice and precaution that's possible. You know, our bear fences have been designed to specification. These things are all designed to specifications. We employed independent consultants and animal experts from around the world to come and design our fences and our safety and our protocols and standard operating procedures and everything else, you know.
I got a bit caught up in the bears because it's so fascinating so grand and just the history of the fact that I didn't, embarrassingly, didn't know that we used to have bears roaming here naturally.
Not very many people do. Yeah. And
embarrassed now, so thanks for that.
It comes as a shock to people to know that all of these animals were once native to Ireland. And you know, people have even become emotional that they didn't realise that these animals were
here. We would love these bears to be, and other animals, to be running wild wherever they might be in the mountains, unfettered access to wherever they want to do, whipping salmon out of the rivers and what have you, right?
Yeah.
But they are going from captivity to captivity. So how do we, how do we sort of square that circle in our minds, if you know what I mean? Because they are going from one area of restriction to another area, albeit something slightly more, much more natural, of course, to their concrete prisons that they were in.
Correct. And I 100% agree with you. I mean, the best place for an animal is in the wild, and that is undoubtedly the case. Unfortunately, let's take the wild. There is no such thing anymore. People are just cutting down the forest. I mean, Ireland is the perfect example. We have cut down all of our forests. We've hunted all our bears to extinction. We've hunted our wolves to extinction. We've hunted our lynx to extinction. You know, the wild is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and it's actually becoming contained.
Well, you see, another thing about that, sorry, I want to add to you, to the conversation, and you'll get to the wider point.
Yeah.
I think really, if you want to see really how there is no countryside in this country anymore, or that we, even if there is, that we believe that we have right of passage on it and right of way, is deers.
Deer, exactly, yeah.
Right, so deers are, for a lot of people listening to this program, are seen as a nuisance.
Yeah.
Now, they don't want them to be killed. They don't want to be killed. Them to be killed and in any sort of cruel way, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the majority think that, well, we need to control this population because there's dangers to the roads?
Do you know, it's hilarious because people, and this will ring true with everybody that's probably listening to this. I mean, we sit at home in our armchairs and we watch David Attenborough, and he always puts across the message, and as do other TV presenters, that, you know, take for example Africa, and they're shooting their lions and they're shooting their leopards. India, they're shooting their tigers. And it's the same argument, you know, like, oh, these are killing our sheep, these are killing our
sheep.
It is
the same argument,
you know,
here.
And we sit in our big comfy armchairs and we tell these people in foreign countries, oh, you shouldn't be hunting your big predators, but we've already killed ours.
See, I don't see any difference between what's a male deer called?
Stag.
A stag, right. Yeah. A big stag with the, you know, with the massive antlers and what have you, standing in a field. I don't really see any difference between that and a bear.
Yeah.
If, to be honest with you, just in terms of what right it has to be there, or getting that stag to me and putting it in that concrete jail that you talked of, there's no, I don't differentiate between that and the bear. Do you know what
absolutely,
I'm on about?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. An animal's an animal and they belong in the wild. Our ecosystem has been flipped upside down. Our top predators were taken out of the ecosystem, and that's why the deer population has boomed. There is no top predator keeping their numbers in check. If you look at Europe, for example, in certain countries where there are still wolves, the deer population doesn't get out of control. Mm-hmm. The wolves control it. Mm-hmm. And they also control disease because the wolves will always pick off the sick animals. Mm-hmm. So we have a big problem with TB here in deer. Wolves could pick out an animal
a week. They pick the weak ones.
Okay. And it controls, you know, so when an ecosystem is taken out of sync, then that means that, you know, these deer overpopulate. Mm-hmm. It would be lovely to you know, repopulate our ecosystem and put it back to the way it was, but you can imagine how that would go down.
Eamon Ryan was seen as a laughing stock for talking about reintroducing wolves.
I see his point. And if we had the wilderness here for them, absolutely.
We don't have the wilderness.
Have the wilderness now. It's gone. It's gone, and it's never coming back. And that's the point. Extinction is forever.
What about reforestation, though? That the talking of trying to get our
The only way that you could ever reintroduce these animals to Ireland is if you linked up all of our national parks. So if you literally linked Glenveagh National Park with Killarney National Park.
And a physical link, you mean? Sort of a business arrangement.
No,
right.
No, I mean that a wolf back to could the bears. Leave Donegal and end up in Killarney National Park.
Do they have much room to move? I know you talked about an initial structure at the moment, but do they have adequate room to move? You talked about a pond, but you know, some people are concerned that they've gone from the frying pan into the fire. So
okay. Well, they certainly haven't gone from the frying pan into the fire. If you look on our Facebook page, our bears have been galloping like horses.
Come on, you're a clever man. You're going to have to use your voice. We're on the radio.
Okay, they've literally been galloping like horses.
So they can get up to speed. So that gives us an idea of the space that they have.
And they can run and they can swim and they can climb on the trees and the logs. And we've put in old logs. Okay, so captivity is never ideal. Okay, there are certain reasons why animals have to be in captivity. Mm. Our bears do not have the skills to go back to the wild. That's the first reason. The second reason, there is no wild for them. The few little pockets of forestry or wilderness that's suitable for bears are already populated by bears. So our bears can never go back to the wild. So it's our job to offer these animals as close to the wild as we possibly can.
And they were saved from where they were previously.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no denying that.
I mean, what was the alternative? That they were euthanized. Yeah. I mean, they can educate people and people can donate money to conservation. They can donate to these charities, Bears in Mind, Nature Help Centrum. These people are the foot soldiers that are on the ground helping these animals. And negativity like that, they don't deserve that negativity. Okay. They're doing good work.
So in terms of can they breed, for instance? I mean, I don't know what the makeup of the bears that you have.
Yeah. So there's a huge problem in captivity, as I've already outlined. There's bears in circuses. To start breeding these bears now would be counterproductive because then we'd have to rehome baby bears as well.
Yeah, and you're breeding them into a captive.
Correct.
In captivity,
correct.
Really, aren't
now,
they?
If you're dealing with endangered species, which many zoos and wildlife park do deal with, they breed them and reintroduce them into the wild. So there's just
at a very early stage. Okay, yeah. I get you.
Now bears are not there's no need to start breeding them in captivity because there's lots of them. So our bears are siblings. They're one male and two females. They're brother and sisters, and so they won't be breeding. They won't be breeding.
You obviously have to intervene.
Yes, the male has actually been castrated.
You couldn't trust them. Yeah. You couldn't trust them on any ethical guidelines, could you?
Yeah.
Right. And monkeys.
Monkeys.
Are they more of a complication? Because, of course, you know, you need a roof then, don't you?
Well, our monkeys at Wild Ireland are Barbary macaques. And a lot of people are questioning, well, were monkeys ever native to Ireland? And we don't believe that they were. We've no evidence to say that they were, but we've no evidence to say that they weren't. During the Pleistocene period, Barbary macaques ranged right across Europe. And we know that they certainly ranged as far north as Norfolk in England, okay, which is on the same latitude as ourselves. And at that time, there was a land bridge between the UK and Ireland, as you know. So we don't know. We don't know that they ever were here because there's no fossils of them. However, there have been fossils of Barbary macaques found in Ireland, dating back 2,000 years. They believe that the people in Ireland 2,000 years ago were trading with the Mediterranean, and they were bringing the Barbary macaques.
Someone's going to have brought them up. Someone's going to, of course, it's inevitable.
They were bringing the Barbary macaques across. Yeah. So our Barbary macaques came from a separate animal charity in the Netherlands called AAP, and AAP rescue primates from laboratories, from circuses, from the illegal pet trade. and they offered them a second chance. So we have five male Barbary macaques. They've come from horrendous situations. Nakando, our oldest male, he's 20 years old, and he came from a circus. One of our other macaques, Troy, was found wandering the streets of Paris as a baby with a nappy on.